Oh, man. Well, hey, welcome to At the Movies 8 here at Crosspoint. Man, I love this series. You guys enjoy this series? Those of you that have been a part of this before, yes. Man, I think I love it because these themes, I mean, we don't necessarily endorse the movies, but so much of our media and our world taps into questions and longings that we have, and it causes us to ask the deeper spiritual questions, which is what we're going to do throughout this series. So, man, so excited you're here with us tonight. My name's Kurt. If we've not had a chance to meet, if you're here for the first time, welcome. If you're tuning in online for the first time, welcome. So good to see you this weekend. And a high note, it's set in the dazzling world of the California music scene. And as you saw there, it's a story of Grace Davis, who's played by Tracy Ellis Ross, Diana Ross's daughter. And she's kind of this bigger-than-life star with a big talent and ego that's kind of reached unbelievable heights. And then she has this personal assistant who's overworked by the name of Maggie, played by Dakota Johnson. And yet she doesn't want to be a personal assistant. She wants to be a music producer. And so this story really is the parallel of these two women's lives as they seek to find a deeper purpose for their lives. And even ask the question, you know, surely there's something more than what I'm doing right now. And so, very, very cool movie. And tonight, as we dig into this, I want to kind of unapologetically talk about purpose. Now, before we do that, I want to kind of lift a weight off our shoulders as we dive into this today, because, you know, I know some of us are like, oh, purpose, man, that's a heavy thing. So a little crowd participation right here. If you're playing along at home, you can play along. I want to see a raise of hands in just a moment. From those of you who, in the midst of whatever you do every day, whether that's watching kids at home, or maybe you go to school during the day, or maybe you go to work or into a Zoom window for work during the day, if at any point you've come home and at the end of the day, you've said something like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? There's got to be more than this. Or like Dakota Johnson, you're like, my life is a joke. Anybody ever had one of those moments at the end of a day before? Yeah, about half of you, which means half of you are lying through your teeth. Because we've all had moments like this, right? I mean, as a pastor, I have moments like this. Sometimes people are like, man, your life must be so purposeful. It is a lot of times, but I'm not going to lie. There's days I go home and I'm like, what am I doing? Well, surely there's got to be more than this. And so today I want to give us a kind of a picture of purpose and a definition of purpose that feels like something I don't have to go out and like search after or decode or try to uncover like it's a stone in the rough. But help us see that you actually have much easier access to it and it's closer than you might think. And so here it is. Here's the definition I want us to think about as we think about purpose. Purpose is simply putting God in the center of everything you're doing today. Putting God in the center of everything that you're doing today. Now, if you're here or you're tuning on online and you're not a Jesus follower, if you're not a Christian, you're kind of checking out church, maybe checking out faith, maybe you've been away from a faith for a while, first of all, we're excited you're here because we realize that, I want you to realize that Crosspoint's created for you to be a place where you can explore faith. And you might be going, well, gosh, I mean, I can't have purpose unless I come to know Jesus. Well, I mean, you can have a meaningful life on certain fronts, but if you really want to have that deep-seated purpose, it may be the very reason that you're exploring faith because you've tried to find things that you thought would fulfill, and you just haven't found it. Because in Jesus, we begin to find that. And if you're a person who is a person of faith, if you are a Christian, if you are a Jesus follower, then hopefully this kind of puts some additional puzzle pieces together for you and moves you forward in the process. And so, for many of us, I know for many of us, I mean, we've struggled to gain clarity for purpose in our lives. And as a result, we've done this for so many years, we almost become numb to this. I mean, it's like, you know, we probably made some purposeful decisions over the years. We can even look back and see moments where we had a very purposeful season in our life, all right? But truth be told, I mean, if we're honest, many of us, we wake up every day. We do the same things that we did yesterday, and then we go to sleep and do the same things the next day. And if you weren't in that routine before COVID, I mean, COVID certainly has a way of, like, pushing us into this, like, what day is it? I feel like I'm in the same routine. I'm on the hamster wheel. And so, you know, we find ourselves in this sense and in this mindset where we begin to think, okay, I've got to go find purpose. And if somebody asks you, okay, what's your life about? What's your life purpose? You go, oh, I don't know. I mean, surely, hopefully it's not what I'm doing right here. Hopefully there's way more than what I'm experiencing right now. And so we begin to think that purpose is somewhere out there, that it's something I've got to go find, that something out there that I've got to go discover. And we're like, well, I'll know when I find it. It's almost like it's a soulmate, right? I mean, it's like there's one purpose out there for me, and one day I'm going to sync up with it. And I'll know when I find it, because then I'll be happy. And so I can't tell you how many conversations I have on a regular basis with people who that think purpose is found only in their job. And so they're like, I'm not fulfilled, I'm not happy, I need to change jobs. And so their life is just like a revolving door of jobs, because they're constantly looking for purpose because they think it's found in their career. And then there's others of us who, you know, we're constantly taking like the online surveys, you know, like you're cruising through, you know, social media and different things, and it's like, hey, click here to find your purpose. You're like, oh, okay. And you jump in. Anybody like do that? You're not going to tell me if you did, right? Or maybe you like see the here's one I saw the other night, how to know if you're really in love survey, right? Like, I know I'm in love, like, how do I know if I'm really found the right one? Because we're looking for some confirmation. Or even another one I just saw last night, if you can answer half of these questions, then you know you found your soulmate. Not like 30% or 66%, but only half of them, and then you know you found it. Like, we look for these confirmations to tell us that I'm on the right track and I must have fallen into it, because we think it's somewhere out there. Now, those of you that know me, you know I'm like an assessment nerd. Like, I love assessments, right? But I'm like more into the DISC profile and you know, emotional intelligence and conflict resolution and motivators and spiritual gifts, all those kinds of things. And all of those don't have to do with like identifying my purpose. They have to do with understanding myself and my true wiring so I can continue to be a better version of myself. Though, speaking of assessments, I'm never going to miss a shameless plug moment to tell you about a COVID conversation we have coming up this week. On Wednesday, 11:30, in the middle of the day, over the lunch hour, EQ for performance. If you want to grow in your leadership and your awareness of how to lead others better, how to have a better emotional intelligence, which also means cultural intelligence, which is critically important in this season when we have, you know, escalating racial tensions and the need for empathy in our world. Man, I highly recommend you join us on this call. It's going to be a webinar, a Zoom webinar, totally free. You can sign up on the web, the app, or on Facebook. There is an assessment if you want to take it that is for a cost, but it's certainly not required. So I hope you join us for that. Now, back to the purpose train. There's one through line that we tend to find and tell ourselves when we find ourselves searching for this purpose. See, we believe that when we find our purpose, it will satisfy and maximize and it will optimize me. And we don't say that, right? Because, I mean, that would sound like pretty self-centered, like it's all about me. But let's be honest, we're looking for this thing that's really like, this is for me. And when we find ourselves in this mindset, you're going to find yourself where I was about 20 years ago. In fact, 20 years ago, it was about this time of year. It was a Friday morning. I was out on a Friday morning run. Fridays were my day off. And I was about 3 years into my career. I had been doing student ministry for 3 years. I'd been married for 2 years. I mean, you think it'd be like the prime of a key season of my life, so excited. And everything was going well and just getting into my career. And I just remember thinking, you know, while I was running, man, God, if this is it, if this is ministry, if this is what I like prepared my life for, man, I'm out. Count me out. And I almost found myself in this mindset like, I've got the wrong job. I've got to figure this out because I'm not fulfilled. I'm not enjoying this. So I had a conversation with God while I was running, and it started like pretty civil. I'm like, seriously, God, like, this is it? Like, this is all you got? Like, I spent all these years and this is the best you've got? Like, I feel such a sense of emptiness. And then it got a little more intense, and I started throwing in some adjectives and words I'm not going to necessarily mention to you right now. But it ended with this, like, God, seriously, there's got to be more blankety blank than this. Surely this isn't it. Now, at that same time, ironically, or maybe not ironically, maybe it was all part of something God was doing, somebody introduced me to this author by the name of Lori Beth Jones, and I attended one of her seminars called The Path. You've heard me talk about this before. The Path, it's also a book called Finding One's Mission Statement, Creating a Mission Statement for Work and for Life. And this has been hugely, hugely influential in my life, hugely influential in that season of my life. But maybe the biggest discovery that came not only through that book, that resource, and this book, man, I've recommended like hundreds of times. In fact, I walked alongside like three of my friends just this year in as they went through it, as they're kind of trying to hone in on this. But one of the biggest discoveries in the process for me was this massive, massive shift that needed to take place in my life. Not out there, but in me. See, I'd been living out of this sense that, purpose was something that was for me. That when I found it, or when I discovered it, like life would be better for me. And it was like all about me. And see, this is typically the mindset that we have when it comes to purpose. But see, purpose isn't what we're doing. Purpose is about what God is doing. And this was like an enormous, enormous shift for me as a 25-year-old young adult. And it's taken years, really, for it to take hold because, like, I just couldn't get past the fact that, like, it's not about me. It took me, like, years to realize this. And see, the difference between those of us that, like, have jobs and careers in the room and tuning in online and those of us that are actually living out of purpose is really a couple questions. And the question's not like, okay, what are you going to do today, Kurt, to go, like, feel a sense of purpose in what you're doing? That's not the question. The question is, okay, God, what are you doing today right here? And how can I choose to be a part of it? Now, all throughout the Old Testament, all throughout the New Testament, we see these words, plan and purpose, be used. I mean, God, apparently God's a God of plan. He's a God of purpose. In fact, let me just mention a few for you. Amos, book of Amos, Old Testament prophet, back in the Old Testament. Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants and his prophets. So God has a plan. He has purposes. Esther chapter 4. Talking of Queen Esther, yet who knows, maybe it was for such a time as this that you, Queen Esther, were made queen. See, Queen Esther, she was put into a very, very pivotal position. And in the midst of this, she actually saved the entire Jewish nation from annihilation. Now, she probably didn't pray and be like, God, put me in that role so I can be the one to stop this. She probably didn't do that, but God was preparing her and put her in a very specific role for a very specific purpose. Even Jesus, in his earthly life. I mean, we see the words of Jesus, and there's times where he's like, he'd say things like, my time has not yet arrived. And then he'd turn around and later he'd say things like, you know, my appointed time is near. And you're like, what does this mean? Well, it means God is a God of purpose. He's a God of plan. There's certain timing to things. And then the gospel according to John, maybe one of the most encouraging verses for us, especially when we think about our purpose being accessible, like right here and now, is this one right here where Jesus says, my Father, he's been working until now, and I too am working. And so you might say, well, how's that encouraging? Well, think about this right here. If God is at work and God has a plan and there's a purpose behind what he's doing, then God is never doing nothing. And so regardless of what your Monday morning might look like, God's at work and he invites you to be a part of it. And regardless of what COVID's done to upend our communities and our workspaces and our school spaces and our relationship spaces and, you know, in the midst of that, guess what? God is still working. He didn't stop. He's still working. And guess what? He invites you and I to join him in it. He's invited us into his purpose. See, so many times, if you're like me, I'd just like blow right by and I was stuck in this thinking that it's all about me. My purpose is about me. See, the coolest thing is it actually pushes us into connection with God. See, in order to discover our real purpose, we actually have to tie into the things that God is doing right here in our midst. This is why so many times, you know, when we're thinking about the next thing, I mean, I have conversations again and people will be like, you know, man, I just thought this job would bring so much like fulfillment and satisfaction, but it hasn't. And I thought, man, when we expanded our family or when I got married, you know, I discover like real meaning in life and a greater fulfillment. I wouldn't feel, and you fill in the blank. I mean, we all say these phrases, right? Because we're looking for something out there to fill something in here. Now, I want to give you a picture, all right, to kind of think about this, all right, because visuals kind of help us connect dots. Some of us are visual people. I'm a visual person. So you guys ready for a picture? So you can kind of carry this. Get ready. Ready? Here it is. It's a picture of a jet stream, all right? Now, don't let me lose you on this, all right? A jet stream. Now, I'm not a scientist. I'm not a meteorologist, but I am kind of a weather nerd, all right? So I want you to think about a jet stream for just a moment, all right? A jet stream, this is so cool. A jet stream actually are these huge columns of wind that take place about 12 miles over the surface of the earth, all right? And they create patterns, and the patterns are dictated based on, you know, for instance, how far that particular stream is from the sun, where it is in relationship to the equator, whether it's over dry land or over water, you know, the revolving speed of the earth. I mean, all of these shape the weather patterns in our world. And then you turn on the news and you have people like Angela Buckman right here in Indianapolis. You have like Al Roker if you watch, you know, national news. And like, hey, something's happening in the jet stream, right? And what does that mean? That means, hey, this is what the weather's going to look like in your community. But see, here's what's so cool about the jet stream. And here's why this is so important when we think about purpose. See, the jet stream is creating a local set of circumstances in your life. That's what it does. I mean, as you look at this one right here, look at this. This was this week's jet stream. This is why we're having such incredible weather right here in central Indiana, the Midwest, mild air for August right here through the Midwest. Because the jet stream creates those circumstances. Now, the truth is, the only thing that we really care about is, like, what's it going to do for me, right? Like, is it going to be sunny? Do I need to take an umbrella? Can I keep the top down? Can I ride my motorcycle? I mean, you know, what is it going to be 90 today? I mean, that's all we care about. The only thing we want to know is, how's it going to affect me and my world right here today? And see, this is how God's purposes are for us. See, God's working this sovereign plan. I mean, he's working up miles above the surface of the earth. I mean, we even use language like he moves kings and kingdoms. This is the way he talks. And it creates a set of circumstances in people and in places and through patterns. In fact, in the movie High Note, there's a defining moment when Grace, Davis's producer, he says, you know, I think it's time for you to move to a Vegas residency. And as you saw in the trailer there, she's like, I don't know that I'm ready to do that. I mean, even though she's going to hit middle age, and that's the pattern, you know, singers usually take, you know, she's like, no, there's a jet stream. There's something happening right here that I want to write. I want to produce a new record. See, the jet stream is the entry point for us to become a part of what God is doing. It's the wind in our face every single day. And see, we can't control the winds, right? We don't know where the jet stream is going to move and blow. We don't have control over it. All we can do is step into it. And so the jet stream, I want you to think of it like three P's. It's really three P's. It's people, it's places, and it's patterns. What's going on in the people, places, and patterns right here in my life? But see, so many times we're looking for like this higher sense of purpose, and we overlook the very things that are happening right here because we're looking for something bigger and grander and something that's more fulfilling than the everyday stuff right here. And we forget that God is always working. In fact, let me give you a simple filter. You know, you're like, well, how do I figure that out? Well, there's one question I've discovered kind of helps me figure that out, and it's this question right here. Is what I'm doing, does it last or does it endure before God? Meaning, does it move the ball forward? Does it matter beyond myself? Does it matter beyond my life? I mean, are the results enduring to God? Is it going to do something, be a blessing, and tap into some of the character of who God is and what he wants for the world? And as that happens, it happens right here in the here and the now. I want us to look at a figure in the Old Testament to try to better understand this. A very, very fascinating story. It's a guy by the name of Daniel. Maybe you've heard of him. He lived hundreds and hundreds of years ago, centuries ago. And Daniel lived in a time in the world when on the surface, it looked like, man, this dude has got the purpose train going on. I mean, he's living in the nation of Israel, and he's living in Jerusalem, which is where the temple is, and he's living as a part of the tribe of Judah, because the nation of Israel split into two tribes, two families. He's living in the tribe of Judah, and he's a part of the royal family. So, I mean, he's in the center of the hub of everything that's good in Israel at the time. And so into this story comes this king by the name of King Nebuchadnezzar, and he's this very powerful king from the Babylonian nation. And so he comes in, and he basically puts Jerusalem under siege. And one of the very first things he does to kind of exert his power over Jerusalem is he takes all of the royal family, including Daniel, and he removes them and ships them off to Babylon, basically to be deprogrammed. And Daniel, like, he's interested in Daniel, because see, Daniel, he was like the most royal of the royal. He's like the creme de la creme, right? Like the blue chip. He was like the best of the best. He was the smartest. He was the most handsome. I mean, he was young. He was strapping. He was everything that you expect a royal to be. And so now King Nebuchadnezzar, he sends him away to deprogram him, meaning he wants to strip Daniel and his men of their values, of their culture, of their faith, of everything that they had known in their former kingdom. And so for 3 years, Daniel, he's tasked with training under this new king, which means he had to learn law and math, and he had to learn the Chaldean language, and he had to learn like architecture and astronomy and astrology and anything that was important to the Babylonian nation, he had to be versed in it. To the point where the goal was to wipe out his former culture, his former way of life, his former faith, even his faith in God. And so here's a guy who, I mean, if you look at him on the surface now, you're like, he has every reason to think, my purpose is gone. Like, it's gone. It's never coming back. I mean, I used to live in Jerusalem. He's part of the royal family. Now he's in forced labor. He's doing something he doesn't even want to do, and he's working under this Babylonian king. They even changed his name. I mean, Daniel was his given name. Daniel means God is our judge, and they changed it to Belteshazzar, which means lady protect the king. I mean, so how funny is that? He like gives him a name of a woman to try to like bring down his identity. He's working a job he hates. It's like a deep insult. He's doing forced labor. And in the midst of this, I mean, he has every right to shake his fists at God and even probably throw out some explicatives. Maybe he did. I don't know. Now, the one thing we know about Daniel is what Daniel did about it. And so what he did is he got up every single morning consecutively for 3 years, and he did the very work that was in front of him. And the way we know this is we look at Daniel chapter 1, look at the book in the Old Testament, the book of Daniel. It talks about Daniel and the other men that are in training with him. Here's what the king says. It said, in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the musicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. See, Daniel did amazing work. And he actually got promoted. I mean, this is like a first test for him. So he gets promoted because of this. And then a couple years later, he gets promoted again. And then he becomes like the king's right-hand man. Now think about this. I'm sure there were people in the Babylonian kingdom that were praying that they could like have the purpose of being the king's right-hand man. Like they'd be like, gods, because there were like multiple gods. Gods, would you please make me the right-hand man of the king? I mean, how many of us have prayed that prayer? God, would you give me this position? Would you make me this? And yet Daniel, he never prayed that prayer. And yet here he was. And this purpose was like about to emerge out of his life. And he had no idea. He just got up every day, put his head in the jet stream that was right there in front of him, the wind in his face, and he did what he was in front of him to the best of his ability. And there was one critical thing that he chose to do in one of the very first interactions with the Babylonian people. And it was this little moment that set purpose in his life. See, so many times we think purpose is the big moment. It's these little moments. But it was a decision he made that forged a pathway. Check this out. Daniel chapter 1, verse 5. It says, the king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. So the king's like, man, I want my men to be fed well. Why does he want them to be fed well? Because these are the guys protecting the king. He's like, I want them healthy. I want them strapping. I want them to be, you know, to be built. And so it says, but Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. So Daniel's like, I don't want it. I don't want the good food. I don't want the wine. I don't want it to defile me. And you're like, what does this mean? What's going on right here? So there were Jewish laws that dictated what those who were God-honoring Jews should eat in their diet. And Daniel, this was a part of the system. This is a part of the way that he used his life at that particular time in the world to honor God, to serve his God. And Daniel is in essence saying, right here in this moment, I'm in a moment that I didn't choose, but in this moment, I'm going to put God at the center. And I don't want the king's food. I don't want to be defiled by the king's food because I want to honor my God. And if you read the next six chapters, first six chapters of Daniel's, you'll see he makes this kind of decision over and over and over again. Now, the difference between Daniel and all the other men that were training with him was he was asking three questions in the midst of his unchosen circumstance. He was saying, okay, God, what are you doing? What's the jet stream going on? How can I honor you? And how can I be a part of what you're doing right here in my midst? And Daniel, he went on to serve three different kings in two different kingdoms. He served for over 70 years. I mean, he never returned home. I mean, he spent all his years under this godless king in this godless country. And yet he got up every single day. He worked to the best of his ability. He put his head into the wind. And he leaned into the jet stream of God's activity. And he looked for what God was doing in the middle of that moment. And he did incredible work. I mean, incredible work. incredible purpose that came out of his life. I mean, just consider a few of the ways that, like, his life was lasting for, like, centuries after him. First of all, he was considered one of the wisest men in all of Babylon. People would go to him to interpret their visions and their dreams. In fact, one time he interpreted a dream that saved hundreds of people. And so he was very, very wise and regarded that way. He came to the place where he actually heard King Nebuchadnezzar, who was trying to strip his faith out of him, actually say these words. He said, Daniel, surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings. He actually got the king to see that he served a real God. He had a moment where he witnessed a miracle by surviving when he was thrown into the lion's den. Yep, he was at Daniel, if you remember that story. And it wasn't when he was young. I mean, he's like 80 years old when this happens. And then many scholars even believe that, you know, when the wise man in the Christmas narrative, when they came to pay homage to baby Jesus and bring their gifts, that those wise men were actually trained by people who were trained by people who were trained by people in astrology and astronomy and the scriptures that were trained by, you guessed it, Daniel. See, a vast majority of these things, he had no idea how God was going to craft purpose into his life. But see, he realized it wasn't about me. So what's God doing and how can I become a part of it? Let me ask you, is your parenting, is it producing fruit in your kids that's going to go beyond just the here and the now? Is it producing fruit that will outlive you? Will it produce fruit that will impact the next generation? In your work life, is your generosity in your workspace, is it changing the environment? Listen, it may not be the ideal environment. Like with COVID, it may not be the ideal, you know, season for us to be working. But listen, it is what it's here, right? And in the midst of this, God is still working. And he's still looking for people to be inspiration and points of light and hope. You know, are we daily finding that? Is your decision to forgive your sister, your brother, your mother, your uncle, your aunt? I mean, are you impacting not only the people in your generation with those decisions, but are you setting a tone for the generation that's looking to you to understand what it means to forgive and to have grace? This is where purpose is found. And listen, it's hard to know. I mean, it's hard to know what I'm putting my hands to and my heart to. Will it endure before God? So I want to give you a couple examples as we kind of close. I want to tell you a couple stories of just ways I've seen this over the past really few months. I mean, it's been pretty cool. So that hopefully you can see how we can notice ways to tap into purpose right here in front of us. First one, I want to tell you about a guy by the name of Cam. He's actually here. He's in the back running production for us this weekend. And Cam, in March, he came to our production director. He works in technology. And he said, hey, I want to write a program where we can record all the different channels that go into our soundboard so that we can send those into a laptop and we can individually record like every microphone, every guitar, every drum channel, all individually in case we ever want to mix and do like an online service. So he did this on the weekend. He was working on this back early March and basically got this worked out on Wednesday night, March 11th, all right, which is when the band rehearses. They rehearse on Wednesday evenings. And so we were having a staff lunch on Thursday over the noon hour, and Brad, our production director, came to me and said, hey, Cam, he wanted to create this program, and he got it up and running. And I said, well, what's the point? And he said, well, I asked him that too. Why are we doing this? Like, what's the goal that you're going after? And he said, well, I just have an itch to do it. I feel like I want to do this. I'm not sure why, in case we ever need it. I kid you not, 2 hours later, I get an email from our mayor that calls all of our faith leaders in the community together on a Zoom call to say, hey, this COVID thing's starting to take off, and we need all of our churches to move virtual this weekend if at all possible. Can you do that? I'm like, oh my gosh. So I went to Brad, and I'm like, Brad, how fast can we pivot to take, we have people showing up in like 6 hours right here. Can we move everything we do digitally? He said, absolutely, with what Cam just created, we can do it like this. He got on the phone, called video operators, we had all the technology right there. I'm like, oh my gosh. And hundreds, thousands of people have been touched by somebody just, Cam just stepping into this moment in front of him. I mean, 26 states virtually have checked in with Crosspoint over the last 5 months. 3 countries, 2 continents. Because somebody had an itch to just jump into the jet stream of what God was doing right here in front of them. Let me talk about Eric. You guys enjoy Eric? You guys enjoy Eric when he's here? Oh my gosh. It's like comedy night. I'm glad he had so much comedy tonight, because like I don't have any. But man, you know, let me tell you the story of Eric. I've been blown away. You know, Eric, some of you don't realize, Eric used to be on our staff team full time. Now, when he and Julie moved to Fishers back in 2009, I believe, right? They started coming to Crosspoint, kind of a funny little thing. I didn't know who he was. I'd read his connection card, and where it said occupation, I think he wrote something like on-air personality or something like that. And I'm like, oh, what is this guy, like a big deal or something? And then I noticed his email was K-Love, you know, which was like a Christian radio station. So I decided to do a little research on him. And so the next time I saw him, I'm like, you know, dude, are you like a big deal? Like, are you kind of like a big radio personality? And if you know Eric, you know how humble he is. And it was kind of like, oh, well, I mean, kind of. And so, you know, as I was digging in, I'm like, he talks to like millions of people every morning all across the country from right here in Indianapolis on a syndicated radio show. Fast forward a few years, and God put a call on his life to begin to pursue a counseling degree, a master's in counseling, and that led him to have to make some career changes, and he joined our team at Crosspoint. It was a good win for him and his family and for us. He was connections director, not like dating connections, but like volunteers and, you know, connecting people to small groups and care. And man, it's just so awesome to have him, you know, with us all throughout the week. And then about 22 months ago, he just felt a nudge, had an opportunity to go back into radio, and called me, you know, late in the summer and said, hey, I've got this opportunity. I really feel like this is what God's calling me to do. And I'm going to be honest with you. I told him, like, I was bummed. I mean, I was like, we love him. You know, they didn't go anywhere, but he's like not working with our team day in, day out in the office anymore. But I'm like, man, God's doing something. You need to do that. You have our blessing. Go. We're excited for you. I'm going to tell you something. Over the last 5 months, as I've listened to B105, when I've been on the road, at home sometimes, mowing my grass, I look back at those moments and I go, oh my gosh. I mean, Eric's taken his counseling, and he even takes what we do here at weekends at times. He has these little moments called the Eric Allen Challenge, where he gives these inspirational moments on how to be healthier and fuller and live a fuller life and have more peace and healing in your life. I'm like, oh my gosh, talk about a ministry platform. With an audience, it's not a Christian radio station, it's an Indianapolis radio station. And the other day, I just told him, I said, man, you've been in a place to inspire and encourage our community in the afternoons at a time when Indianapolis needed it. Because you're simply willing to take a step into the jet stream of what God's doing right here. We can walk right into purpose right in front of us. God's always at work. He's always at work. If we won't overlook the very thing happening in front of us, we can step into it. So, what do we do? Got a couple next steps I want you to think about this week. If you want to open up your app, you can. They're in the Crosspoint app. If you're watching online, you can hit the connection card button there and just pull these out, because I want us to give some thought to how do I join God in what he's doing. Now, the first one is, man, we're in a fantastic series to invite people to Crosspoint. Maybe it's in person. Maybe it's, you know, just sending the invite to join us online. Maybe you want to host a watch party through our Facebook Live and invite your friends. Listen, it's no better time. You get free movie passes. We're going to send them free movie passes. I mean, it's a win-win, right? I mean, as we said earlier, I mean, it's a great time to bribe your friends to come to church. You know, we have no shame in helping people come into an encounter where they might get a glimpse of who Jesus is. So maybe that's a step for you this weekend. And maybe that's the jet stream of what God's doing. And I tell you what, you're going to find some meaning, some purpose. We begin to be an advocate and an ally for Christ with your friends. The second one, would you look for the jet stream of what God's doing in your life this week? I mean, would you just, instead of looking out there and trying to think, okay, a purpose is out there, look right here, right in front of you. And it's in the three P's. It's in the people and the places and the patterns. And just simply ask the question, God, what are you doing and how can I be a part of it? See, in the movie High Note, as Grace Davis begins to pursue this thing that's happening in the jet stream in her life, and her assistant, Maggie, begins to have an opportunity to pursue the thing that she is seeing that she can step into, something crazy happens. They begin to affect a third person in the story. And I'm not going to spoil for you. I'm not going to tell you what happens. You have to watch the movie. But see, that begins to spill over into other people's lives. And it's amazing what begins to happen. And it can happen for you. So let's be intentional this week and look for where God is working and join him. All right, let's stand. Let me pray for us. God, first of all, I just want to thank you for being a God of purpose, for being a God who is so intentional that you pull us into ways that we can actually have meaning. And we can have plans. And there's ways we can tap into things that touch the eternal way beyond our lives. We may be sitting in this room. We may be tuning online because somebody did that for us. And so God, I just thank you for being a God who's always working, who's never not working. And God, I just pray this week you would help us to see where you're at work, to see what you're doing and how we can be a part of it. God, give us the courage to step into that. And Father, if there's any of us who are longing for that void to be filled, God, may we just take a step towards you and invite you and receive you in this moment and say, Jesus, I want to know that kind of purpose. I want to know that kind of fulfillment in my life. I've been chasing after it for a long time, but God, I just pray that you help us to receive that, to be receivers of what you have for us, because you never stop. You never stop working.